What was George Washington's prayer life like? What was his devotional life like? Did he read the Bible, the Book of Common Prayer? We're going to talk about that right now in this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Peter Loback. Peter and I wrote a book many years ago called George Washington's Sacred Fire, and frankly, thanks to Glenn Beck, it became a national bestseller. Dr. Peter Loback is the president and founder of Providence Forum. He's also the president of Westminster Theological Seminary. His views represented in this broadcast are basically his own related to Providence Forum. Okay, so, Dr. Loback, the question on the table was George Washington's personal prayer life, his devotional time, his Bible reading, his interaction with the Book of Common Prayer. Go ahead and wax eloquent on these, if you would.
All right. Well, Jerry, this is such a wonderful topic because George Washington actually set a remarkable role model for the nation for prayer. And so the reason we know this is true is that Washington came from a family that had spiritual life as a fabric and an ingredient that actually shaped him from his childhood. We know that he had something called the Rules of Civility that he wrote down with his own hand that come from the Appleby School in England, which had been attended by his older brother. And Washington himself never got to go because his father died and there was not the ability to send him. By the way, that was a providential thing. Imagine if he'd gone and studied in the United Kingdom. He might not have been so supportive of the American side of the great debate. But in those Rules of Civility, it talks about the importance of dealing in faith with God and with personal commitment. He was under the care of a single mom who was known to daily go out and have a time of prayer, and they called it the family prayer rock. There was a rock where she would go and pray. She had books for prayer that were used by the family that were devotional. And so Washington, to the extent that he had a teacher, from time to time he had a tutor. One of them was an Anglican minister who obviously taught him how to use the Book of Common Prayer. In fact, in one of his writing exercises, he sets down the table on how you can predict when Easter will fall at any year in the calendar. So that's pretty amazing. That's how much he knew the Book of Common Prayer. He could actually copy such a thing out and use it. But what we come to learn then is that as an officer, as he goes into the military, the British Army required its officers to participate regularly in daily devotions. If there was not a chaplain present, the officer was required to lead the men in prayer. And that meant that Washington actually developed the habit of bringing with him on his military travels a Book of Common Prayer, one of which he ordered for a certain size, with the Psalms covered with red Morocco leather, that he could carry it in with him wherever he went. It had to fit in his pocket. He wanted to have it handy because he knew he'd need to use it for worship. In fact, it's interesting, as he was sent out by Lord Fairfax, a real noble person for whom Fairfax, Virginia is named. In fact, much of the Old Dominion of Virginia was once owned by Lord Fairfax. He told Washington, make sure you keep the spiritual life of your men intact, which meant make sure that there are spiritual devotions. When Washington is in the middle of the battles with the French and Indian, and as a young British officer, he writes various letters back to his commanding officer and says, do you think we're heathen out here and we don't need to have concerns for spiritual life? Send us chaplains. We need spiritual life. It's amazing that he would long for such things. So then when we watch Washington become now a married man and having children, we discover in his records that he ordered Bibles for his son and daughter, his adopted son and daughter, and had their name put upon them, much as we do to this very day, with gold letters so that they would have their own personal Bible. We're told that he regularly, when he worshiped, when he would say the creed, there are eyewitnesses' accounts that said that as he would be saying the creed, when the name of Jesus Christ was mentioned, he would especially bow his head in acknowledgement of Christ. So now we're not here to see that, but this is what the record seems to indicate. Perhaps other than the actual prayers that Washington wrote, which we'll talk about in a minute, what we know is that in the middle of the Revolutionary War, The London Chronicle, and I think the year for this was something like 1778, I've forgotten the precise year, they have a story in the newspaper published in London about the enemy camp and General Washington's army. And when you read the article, it begins to describe what the officer's headquarters is like in camp. And one of the things it says is that it is known that General Washington has daily prayers in his headquarters office.
Whoa.
Isn't that interesting? Even the enemy newspaper had to admit that the reports of Washington was he was a man of character and that prayer was something that he maintained. If you want to undermine your enemy, you say, well, he doesn't even pray. He's a man that doesn't believe in things that are right and wrong. In fact, many of Washington's orders directly call on his men to avoid profanity and to keep the regular worship days when all possible, to keep the Sunday worship going. And even when money was scarce, he insisted with Congress that they would provide for chaplains so that the men's spiritual needs would be sustained. So you look at that long heritage, you would expect a man with that kind of a tradition would be clearly have internal evidence in his own life that he was a man of prayer. In fact, that's what we find. When you go through his writings, we can find a rich vocabulary of prayer, like to beseech, to cry out to God, to pray, to make vows. These kind of words come up multiple times, and you can count something like 100 prayers from a sentence long to a full long paragraph that are in Washington's letters, public and private, that he wrote with his own hand. He will say to people, I've been praying for you. And so what we need to see then is that Washington was committed to prayer. And in fact, when you couple with that, he was a biblically literate man with over 200 examples of biblical allusions and citations that we actually put, Jerry, in our book in the second appendix. It shows that he knew the Bible from cover to cover. He was able to use it. He didn't have Strong's exhaustive concordance. He didn't have a search engine on a cell phone. He was able to use these biblical phrases and ideas right from his own heart. Maybe the best example of all of his biblical knowledge are two places where he writes a letter to people. One is to Lafayette, his close French friend, and another one to a Jewish congregation. And in one paragraph in each of these, he'll actually bring together like 7 or 8 different biblical texts where he's actually using biblical language to make a point, and it makes total sense. I think if anyone thinks he was not a biblically pious student of the Scriptures, take the homework assignment, see if you can write to someone about something you're doing, and just use biblical language and make it make sense. And realize he did that. The best he had was an open Bible, and I think he probably did it just right out of his memory. So these are many examples. I can give specifics if you'd like to pursue it, but that shows, in my mind, just the stringing of together the facts of his life and these examples to show that he was a man of very serious and devout piety.
Excellent. Here's one question I want to know, and you can comment in just a moment to explain what the Book of Common Prayer is for those who might not be familiar with it. But when he used all these different biblical phrases showing that he was indeed very biblically literate. Now, and we should point out that just in the same way we might say, well, for God so loved the world, but we wouldn't say, for God so loved the world, John 3:16. Well, you know, it's by grace that we're saved, Ephesians 2:10. You know, we ourselves wouldn't do Ephesians 2:8 and 9. We ourselves wouldn't talk that way, and George Washington didn't do it that either. In other words, he didn't say Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but he might just say the actual verse itself. But here's my question. Did George Washington get so biblically literate because of the Bible itself, from reading the Bible itself, or from reading the Book of Common Prayer, or both?
I think we can say both, and we can add a third thing, and that is that the culture itself strove to be a biblically literate culture. Just living in Virginia with an established Anglican tradition and living in North America, which was largely a Protestant string of colonies by and large, knowing that the Reformation hadn't happened that long ago, the idea of the importance of the Bible in one's own language, this was a very precious thing. And that so knowing the scriptures and a culture being shaped by the Bible was very dramatic. So I think the Bible was known by his education, his culture, and then his regular worship, and then his personal piety. They all helped to shape him. So you ask the question, what is the Book of Common Prayer, for example? This is a marvelous worship tool that was developed in the Church of England to help establish uniformity in worship. Now, the Puritans didn't like it because they were forced to use it by the law of the king, and they said, no king has a right to tell us how we should worship God. We should be free. But when you set aside the compulsory aspect of the king's use, if you read it, you find it's filled with the great Christian creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the great Chalcedonian language. It has the Athanasian Creed, all Trinitarian. It has many wonderful biblical confessions of prayer and prayers that are classic in their sound. When you hear them say, I've heard that before, yes, because they've been prayed for centuries. And then it takes you through the Psalms, and you're praying through the Bible regularly. And then it has all the different forms of worship, like for a burial service, or for a baptism, or the Lord's Supper, or a marriage, or an ordination of a minister. And this was filled with biblical theology. So the Book of Common Prayer brings together, if you will, the classic biblical and Catholic tradition, and it joins with it the Protestant Reformation tradition, and it creates what has been called the via media, the middle way between Protestant and Catholic. And that's why when you look at a Anglican church, you say, that looks Catholic. And then other times you say, man, that looks Protestant. And, well, you're actually right, because they're blending together. But in it, if you are a serious daily user of morning and evening prayer and regular worship, you are going to learn a lot about the Bible. And then finally, we do know that Washington did read the Bible. We know, for example, when Charles Thompson was translating the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, into English, he's the only man who's ever published that, to the best of my knowledge, Washington actually received part of his translation, said, I've read it. He talked about his desire to have the Bible given to his soldiers at the end of the war if they had had enough funds and they hadn't dispersed the soldiers. He was very interested in the men having the Bible, along with the chaplains. We know that there was the practice of the family reading a chapter in the Bible each Sunday morning before they went off to worship as a family. That was recorded by one of their important family supporters who kind of helped manage the home. Mrs. Washington and the president used to regularly on Sunday afternoons read together a sermon, a published minister's sermon, that shared biblical truths, and so they became biblically literate in this way. Hmm. And then finally, we're told that on Washington's deathbed, as he was passing away, by the way, his last words were, "'Tis well." In other words, he was saying, "It's all 'tis well of my soul." He's almost using those classic words that will become a hymn later on. It is well with my soul, 'tis well, his last words. But we are told by the Washington's adopted grandson, George Washington Parke Custis Washington, quite a name, he said the Bible was open at Washington's bedside because it was read regularly by Mrs. Washington. She was reading the scriptures as he was passing away.
Wow.
So we can see that this biblical literacy came from education, culture, Book of Common Prayer, and the family's use of the Bible, and their historic, by and large, regular worshiping in the Christian communities that had biblical preaching as a key part of it in this early post-Reformation age.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for this. I mean, it feels so illuminating to hear all this and to kind of get a glimpse of the times, and they're far more committed as Christians, you know, than we're led to believe, you know, today. But we're basically out of time on this one, but I want to keep going on this series about George Washington and his faith, because there's so much there to deal with. So thank you again, Dr. Peter Lilbeck, providenceforum.org, for more information.
Thanks, Jerry.